You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel, your host of Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops. And as you all know from following me, that I have been a big proponent in really pushing the history lessons in the WNBA's 15th year of existence. And I am thrilled to have with me on the phone one of my favorite players when she was in the WNBA, and now one of the top 15 WNBA players of all time, as announced yesterday, former Sacramento Monarch, in my heart always, Yolanda Griffith. Yolanda, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, Yolanda, congratulations on being one of the top 15 players in the history of the league. But, you know, that was a no-brainer to me. The career that you had was amazing. But still, how does it feel to be in that elite company that they placed you with officially yesterday?
It was overwhelming. You know, when I finally got the call that I was one of the top 15 voted in, I was, you know, blown away because of all the players that was selected. You know, I played with Lisa with the Olympics, Don with the Olympics, T. Spoons, I mean, just Cynthia Cooper, all of those great players that I had a chance to play against and play with was just, you know, just, it humbled me. It, you know, people recognized hard work when I stepped on the court, and that's all I was trying to do was give 150% every time I stepped on the court and played the game and just trying to show the young players what it takes to get to the next level. So I just tried to give it everything I had.
Now, there were so many of the younger players that were on that list, but the crowd yesterday just seemed to explode when you were introduced. So it had to have felt really good knowing that you know, you're still front and center and everybody that loves the WNBA's mind.
You know, it was kind of difficult, you know, trying to hear the crowd and, you know, trying to make sure I didn't fall down the steps at the same time. But like I said, it was the fans. It was Athletes for Hope, an organization that I'm a part of. It was my family and, you know, just fans from back in the day when I played in the ABL. It was just, like I said, it was just overwhelming. I'm honored and, you know, just to be standing there with all the elite players that they picked as the top 15, you know, I could ask for a better ending of my career.
Well, you know, now the NBA, when they did their 50, gave them all those fancy leather jackets, but I think you'll be content with that Adidas suit for now, huh?
Oh, yeah, I can use it for when I do my training, so that's a good night. That's a nice outfit. I don't see myself wearing a big leather jacket. I have one for when they did the top, what was it, a couple of years ago.
For the 10 years?
I got a leather. Yeah, they gave us all decade team. I got a leather jacket then, so I'm okay with having one leather jacket.
And the one question that I was really wondering about all of that yesterday is, so did I let you take an etched glass plate in with your carry-on luggage, or how do you get that home?
No. We were so overwhelmed with so many gifts when we got there, so they're sending it to me. I'm going to ship it to the house because I couldn't. I went with one bag, ended up coming back with three more bags, so I couldn't take the plate with me, so they're sending it to me.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear that they took care of you guys and they sent you home with a lot of great stuff, because there is no question that, you know, the WNBA would not be where it is without the people that got it going in the first place, like you and the people you mentioned, Staley and Teaspoon and Lisa, of course. But one question I do have is, you know, I had told you off that when we would talk before that, you know, I love the big girls that bang inside, and I'm a post fan. What is this, only three centers on this top 15 list? I mean, come on. There were some great posts out there.
You know, I mean, we were sitting on the bus trying to figure out, you know, who all made the team. We didn't really know who all made the team until we got to the gym. And, you know, I think they just went with the 15 because of 15 years the WNBA has been around. But I was like saying, man, we could have went up to 20. We could have went to 25 because it started in 97. You had so many great players, you know, that was left off. And, I mean, if it wasn't for the players that, you know, was in the league in 97, you know, it just, the WNBA wouldn't be around, you know. And you have so many great players that came, that transitioned from the ABL after it folded, that came into the WNBA. You know, it's just so many great players. I just don't think we could stop at 15. We can keep going. The list is longer than 15.
Isn't that the truth now? Now, you brought up the ABL, so let's go there for a second. Now, I've always wondered, what was it that turned you in the direction of the ABL first instead of the WNBA when both were starting up?
Well, let me see. Actually, the ABL, I thought, came first. And then after, let me see.
The first seasons were both 97.
I couldn't even tell you. I think I was overseas and got a chance to play in the ABL. I don't know what took me to the ABL, but I think the ABL was first.
Well, you were the number one draft choice in the league, so it's very possible that that you heard from them first, that's for sure.
You know, I mean, it was just the opportunity just to be able to play back in the USA and in front of my family and them being able to see me play on a professional level with the better talent. You know, and it was just an opportunity. I took advantage of it. I felt bad after the ABL folded. You know, it was just different directions that the ABL went. I think it could have lasted longer, but it didn't. You know, and the WNBA was around, and I it took me a minute to decide to actually come and play back in the States, I guess because of the experience I had with the ABL and it filing for bankruptcy. Got a lot of offers to play overseas, so I took advantage of playing overseas and, you know, decided that 99 was going to be the year that I, you know, got into the WNBA, and I was number two draft pick in the WNBA after the ABL folded. And, you know, Jamaica Holtzall was number one. I was number two. I was hoping to be able to come and play with Amara McHugh, who was an assistant coach with the Sacramento Monarchs. She was my head coach when I was at Long Beach, and loved playing under her. And I was hoping I'd get number two. Number one didn't matter to me. Number two was the most important spot for me because I wanted to play with the Sacramento Monarchs.
And the rest, as they say, is history, because you turned that franchise, as the face of the franchise, into, well, we won't talk about that championship team because I'm in Connecticut. So that was one of the most enjoyable teams, that championship team, to watch, because you just did it the hard way. You worked hard. You did. You know, there was no real superstar, you know, high-flying players. There were no Tarassis or anything like that. You guys just went out with a lot of talent and a lot of heart and just played great defense and earned everything that you won.
Yeah, I mean, to win a championship, it takes hard work. It takes dedication. It takes giving up a little bit of yourself and the accolades that's given to individuals to actually play as a team. And, you know, I'm coming into to the league, I've won so many different things. I just never won a championship. I won the Olympics. Not the Olympics yet. Yeah, I did win the Olympics 2004. But just to be able to continue to be successful, one individual is not going to win a championship. And like I said, I won so many different awards that, you know, I had to step back a little bit and decide, okay, in order for to win a championship, we have to sacrifice a little bit of our game to bring together as a team so we can be successful and to win a championship in 05 when a lot of people were saying that it had never happened. I was told I was a John Stockton and Karl Malone situation with Tisha not scoring and, you know, we wouldn't happen. You know, it was a lot of different things. But I was determined to try and win a championship one way or the other, and we were successful in 05, came close again in 06. But, you know, just to be able to walk away with a championship in the WNBA is great. It's truly a blessed honor.
Well, let me ask you a question about that then. You've won MVP awards. You're one of the top 15 players of all time. You've got two gold medals. You've got a WNBA championship. which is the one of all of those that is the absolute top in your mind, the greatest achievement of your career?
Well, I don't want to be let me see. Well, first, I will always have to say my family, because my family helped me to continue to succeed in my career after I had my children, you know. So first and foremost, it had to be, you know, my family, my girls. And I think I can't just say one award. I will have to say, that's kind of tough. Because
I'll let you off the hook.
It's okay. The championship, because there's a lot of great athletes out there that never get an opportunity to win a championship. And to win in 05 was truly a blessed honor, and to be able to win it in Sacramento, I'm speechless, because, you know, like I said, a lot of people didn't think we was capable of winning a championship with the defense that we was playing. You know, so it was truly an honor to win a championship. And then I got my gold medals. 2000 is next. And then 2004 was on the 2008 Olympic team, but I decided I needed to start taking care of my body a little better and stop trying to play year-round all the time. So it could have been three, but I'll take two.
Well, one question I had for you is, how difficult was it to walk away from the Monarchs when the time came and to sign that contract with Seattle?
Oh, it was very difficult because, you know, I started in 99, watched a lot of players grow, taught a lot of players how to play the game and how to see the game in a different aspect. I mean, it was truly, truly tough to walk away, seeing as though I was, you know, drafted in 99 with the team. But I just saw that the team was going in a different direction, you know, had a young coach, you know, and it was time for me to, you know, to continue to play basketball. I was, you know, put in a situation in the spotlight to be the go-to player, the captain, the mentor. And don't get me wrong, I welcomed that with open arms. I was truly honored. But I just wanted to, you know, not have those responsibilities anymore. I just wanted to just play the game and just, you know, just have fun some more. And it started being more of my duties instead of me just playing the game. And so it was very difficult. And, you know, I just saw Rebecca Brunson yesterday, who I haven't seen in a long time. I just saw Tisha yesterday when she got honored, you know. So, you know, I've been blessed. I'm thankful for my career. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my old teammates. I'm thankful for the new teammates that I had in Seattle. I got a chance to hang out with Lauren yesterday. Only played the Olympics with Katie, you know, so I was talking to her about the different viewpoint as far as, you know, coming off the bench, you know, seeing as though she's been a starter for such a long time, you know, and hanging out with Birdie, you know, and even seeing Tamika Catch and Dougie when I played in Indiana, you know. So I've had a great career, but I've met a lot of great individuals also, and have been able to pass down the knowledge of the game that I had and was given to me. And, you know, so I still have a lot of great friends in the league. And, you know, so like I said, I'm blessed. I've had a great career, and I'm continuing to still be involved with basketball.
What do you think is the biggest difference between when you entered the league and now? And one thing I got to say is that, you know, you were always so aggressive and played so hard. I would love to see you in your prime against these centers, you know, Fowles and Cambage and even Griner, these big girls. I'd love to see what you could do with them.
Well, I may be up in my age, but I've always had the confidence that I can stop and dominate anybody. And I'm always going to feel that way. And just to see, like I was saying, like I was walking with Swin and Sue Burr, I was like, man, they was feeding these kids some vegetables when they was infants, because these girls are huge. And Liz was in front of me, and she started laughing. These women, I'm like, because I did Nike sent me out to St. Louis when Griner was a senior in high school. So I was able to coach her and, like, try and give her some feedback and the things I was seeing as she was playing. These women are huge. It's something in the water. I just don't know. They are huge, but the talent is there. I'm just glad that women basketball has taken off like it has. I'm finally glad that they're getting the recognition from high school to college until getting into the WNBA, if not making it to the WNBA, still having that opportunity to go overseas and play and continue to have a successful career.
You know, one thing I'm sure my listeners would love to hear as we move to wrap things up is what you're doing with yourself now. You said you're staying active in basketball. You know, what's keeping you busy?
What's keeping me busy is my young kids, because I have two training academies out here in Sacramento, and I have young kids, 6, 7, 8 years old, going up to high school boys. And I was just talking to a couple of players yesterday. Like, it was surprising that the fathers of the young men that I'm training was like, make him better, teach him the game, not going to other men for the training. They were coming to me, so I'm, you know, pleased that a lot of the men kept up with my game and was like educating their son on this is the right way to play the game. My trainings are all about fundamentals. It's about the discipline of the game. It's about the respect of the game. So my trainings keep me very, very busy. I'm excited about the trainings. I did a couple of coaching gigs at high school last year. I'm so involved with basketball, my trainings, and my camps, you know, so it keeps me really, really busy. In the process of pursuing, you know, maybe coaching on a college level. If it happens, it's great. If not, I'm going to continue to do my my trainings. I'm looking to open up my own sports complex out in Sacramento. So I have a lot of things on my plate, and you know, like I said, I'm still involved in the community in Sacramento, and you know, I'm not going anywhere. Sacramento is my home.
And they're very fortunate to have you, especially anytime anybody does something like that for the kids, that's what really is the best aspect, in my opinion, of most of the current and former WNBA players, is the giving back that they do during their careers and after their careers.
Right, and that's what it is. It's all about the fans. If it wasn't for the fans, the WNBA would not be around. I don't care how much money you invest. If it wasn't for the fans, the WNBA would not be around for 15 years, and I'm hoping it lasts even longer. And, you know, just go from there. So, like I said, I'm excited. My career has been very successful, and I'm not looking back. And like, yo, you need to come. No. We was talking yesterday, a couple of players, like, this starting five right here, oh, man, we can do wonders. Yes, we could. And just like, I mean, it's just to be in the same room with all the talent that was there yesterday and just to reminisce about old stories on the Olympic team or just playing the games and how I was about to hit Dawn because she did something to me during a basketball game. We played in the ABL, and then I realized who it was. I had to wake up. I mean, it's just so many different stories that we was talking about yesterday, just going back. And it's just, you know, I'm like, we have to do a reunion. We have to stay in contact with each other, not lose contact, and, you know, and just continue to stay involved together so we all can be successful.
Well, I want to wish you success in everything you do, and I want to thank you. I know it's been a really, really hectic weekend for you with going to San Antonio and getting home, and I know you want to spend some time with the family. So I will let you go, and thank you again for taking the time to be with me and to come on to the show today.
No, thank you for having me, and let me know when we do our next steps and stuff. I'm always going to make sure I'm available. I'm looking forward to it. I was just looking at my Chicago Condors and Long Beach Stingrays uniform. I got all my uniforms, all the teams I played for, even overseas. I got all of those uniforms. I just got to put them in a glass case because I got my little trophy room in my house. So I got all my uniforms. Just like I said, it just brings back a lot of memories from the ABL to the WNBA.
Well, and I'm sure you'll find a nice focal point for that beautiful glass plaque that was given to you yesterday.
I found a nice spot.
one of the 15 greatest players, and I'm going to even narrow it down to one of the 5 greatest players in the history of the WNBA. Thank you again for your time, and have a good day.
Thank you. You too.